Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about a post made at the Christian Science Sentinel titled The Light That Makes All Things New by Deb Hensley. In this show, we will discuss similarities between the Christian Science watching and the yoga practice of meditation. Listen as we explain transformation as the dawning of the spiritual light on human consciousness, revealing the divine truth of being. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and perceive the truth. So Swami, today's title of the show is Dedicated Watching for Spiritual Light. Now, I think I understand the words dedicated and spiritual light, but what is it that you mean by the word watching?
Well, I think what we want to really focus on here is the article that Deb Hensley gave us. We found on the Christian Science Sentinel. She talks about this spiritual watching. In Kriya Yoga, we use the term meditation. The thing that we're starting to learn is that we want to stop thinking and really start knowing. The more we're learning this, we're starting to find that thinking really creates this interference pattern. It prevents us from knowing the truth that Scripture tells us is available to us. Meditation, by definition, being the seventh stage of yoga, there's a lot of preparatory work that has to be in place. When I listened to Deb Hensley's article, there were some things that she says in there that I thought were really good and will be very helpful for us in our understanding of how things work in the yoga framework. One of the things that she talked about in her article was sitting by a very dark thought window. When I heard that term, it immediately dawned on me that what we were talking about here was what we in yoga would refer to as a chakra. And in Revelations in the Bible, I think they would refer to that as a church. The chakra or the church is that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. Everything that we're trying to do is just like what Deb Hensley says in her article. We're trying to reach this larger sense of life. The divine creation, the truth of our being, is beyond our five-sense perception. So we have to cultivate spiritual sense. These are difficult concepts to try and understand because we're talking about something that's invisible and intangible, and our mental faculties work on contrast. They work on what's visible and tangible or what is invisible but tangible. So we have to learn, as the Bible says, to think differently. And this watching is a really good way of us starting to understand what is meant by that. We don't want to think that we're spiritual. We want to know this truth. In the framework of doing that, we have to put off our old mode of thinking, mortal thinking, our human ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the information that's coming through our corporeal senses. And we want to cultivate spiritual sense. In spirit, we behold the truth. We don't think, we don't even feel the truth, because that's all using corporeal sense. But as we cultivate our spiritual senses, that's what I think was so helpful about her article, it's a practice. You actually sit and you watch. You wait and you let this truth reveal itself to you.
So when I think about that word watching, I think of it as like a verb. I'm not just looking, but I'm watching. It's almost like I'm waiting. I am aware as to what's going on. And as you said, we're watching for this spiritual light. And can you tell us more about what that might look like when we're doing that?
Let me see if I can do this without confusing myself. What we're trying to do here is we need to understand life is spiritual. The less we believe that life is material, the more spiritual it will become. I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 69. Thus it is that the real, ideal man appears in proportion as the false and material disappears. I really like the fact that she's using this term proportion. There is a ratio. One of the things we talk about in our Kriya Yoga classes now is that the physical world is a mental image. And the more divinely mental it is, the more harmonious and indestructible it appears. And so we're trying to change how we're thinking. And we want to move from material beliefs and values to mental beliefs and values and eventually to spiritual understanding. The more we understand ourselves to be spiritual, the more spiritual light will illumine our thought, which then will reveal this divine creation, this larger sense of life that Deb Hensley talks about in her article. It's very important we understand how we're going to get there. It's not going to be by belief, by watching and waiting and keeping our mind an avenue of awareness for this divine creation, the divine idea. That's one of the things that I've learned is that we must start with the divine idea. We must know the divine creation is right here, right now. It's perfect. It's finished. It's whole. That is really who we are. And what is appearing in our five corporeal senses is just a thought. It's our thought or it's world thought being individualized as our thought, but we're in a thought loop. It's not real. And what we mean by real, it's not self-existent. It's not backed by this divine creative principle. It's made of the same stuff that our dreams are made of. And it is based on incomplete information. It's not the truth. It's not spirit is whole. It's complete. It's fulfilled. It's absolute. Thought works on contrast. We're looking at something that has split from the unified state, manifested in half, and left behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And so the whole mind-body complex really is the veil preventing us from seeing this larger sense of life, the divine creation.
So can you explain the relationship between this divine idea and the seven chakras that we've been talking about in our shows of late?
In Kriya Yoga, the way that I understand it, the chakras are what we'll call the energy converters. The chakras were what took the pure consciousness of spirit and then rectified it. It stepped it down and brought it down to the lower frequency of thought, the lower frequency of matter. And so the chakras really are that point of unity between what appears to be matter, mind, and spirit. The way we experience the chakras is in the astral body, in the mental body. It's how we're thinking. And so these seven thought windows that we really have to acknowledge and activate by our awareness of them, which then let in the spiritual light that will illumine our thought. in this process, there's a lot of vertical movement that is happening, that we're moving from a lower level of consciousness to a higher level of consciousness. In Kriya Yoga, we use 7 levels of consciousness, and we have 7 chakras. And so your lowest level of consciousness would be the level of what we would call mineral. The next level would be vegetable. The next level would be animal. The next level is human. And then beyond human, it would be genius, prophet, and divine. It's just a way of being able to rationalize or somehow understand on a corporeal sense level how we can start to experience divine omnipresence so we can induce the God experience that we can now, like Deb Hensley says, the light that makes all things new, that reveals the divine creation, which doesn't need any help. What it basically will do is it will resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. That divine mind, when it is allowed to take over the scientific government of our being, will transform what it is that is appearing in our corporeal senses.
Swami, I have a curiosity to ask you about. Earlier you had mentioned the word proportion. Can you talk more about that in regards to the spiritual light?
From my understanding, there isn't one window, but 7 windows. The more windows acknowledged, the more light to illumine thought. I really kind of like what C.S. Lewis said. I'll repeat what he had said. I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. This spiritual light that illumines our thought really begins to enable us to see the truth, to perceive this divine creation, which doesn't report in our 5 corporeal senses, but as these windows fill up our thought with this light, the more windows we acknowledge, the more we understand of how this creative principle reveals itself to us, the more light we get, the better we will be able to perceive what is before us.
I think what's interesting in what Deb Hensley says in her article is she says, to put it simply, the science of Christ reveals unequivocally that God is all good, only good. Evil is therefore no part of God's creation. If we realize that truth, that is such a huge stepping stone for most of us to be able to live with that.
Yeah, I think it's very important to really start to understand that the divine creation is absolute goodness. It's eternal life. However, it is wholly spiritual. And what we're calling life is just human thought about the divine creation, that we're in this thought loop. In yoga, we call it the cycle of death and rebirth. And that's really what we're striving to liberate ourselves from. And it is the testimony of our 5 corporeal senses that is the veil preventing us from seeing this divine creation, which is right here, right now, being held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of eternal life. And false sense of existence that we're accepting runs on belief, and it is a belief in 2 powers. And this is where we're learning that this dedicated watching for this spiritual light, we have to know divine creation is perfect, and it's right here, right now, and all we have to do is know ourselves in the way that we were created by the divine, and not this human approximation.
Well, we're going to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga.
it provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'm hoping we can talk more about the chakras and these thought windows.
Yeah, well, in her talk, Deb Hensley talks about sitting by a very dark thought window. I like this to help us understand the yoga concept of a chakra or the church in Revelations. It is that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. Paul Stark Seeley says something like, the connection is found between divine mind and the real man. The real man is spiritual identity, or the Christ, which Deb calls spiritual light. What we're basically doing is we're trying to stop thinking, stop forming thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our corporeal senses, and we're programming ourselves to receive. We're not transmitting, but we're receiving. But we have to hold our attention on the presence of divine mind, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, until it starts to reveal itself to us. I really like the imagery of the light as this light begins to dawn on us, as it begins to correct our thought, resolve things into thoughts, exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. Again, she uses a very simple example of how this corrects our thought. She talks about a symptom or a condition that completely dissolves or disappears, because this light, this truth, must correct the error, just like light dissolves darkness. Darkness is not an opposing power to light. Error, this evil, this false sense, is not an opposing power to the divine creation. It's just the absence of light, or the absence of this truth. We don't have to overcome anything or change anything. It's just going to reveal the way things really are on that spiritual level, at that level of consciousness. Truth is before thought and above corporeal sense.
Well, can we talk more about what the practice of watching really is? What does it look like?
Again, it's filling our thought with divine idea. As a practice, you can call it watching or witnessing or beholding. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy called this, thinking with God as God. In order to do this with any kind of success, we must rise above the 5 corporeal senses and take no thought. The Bible tells us the mind of God is too pure to behold iniquity. So if I were to think with God, it would be impossible for me to perceive anything that wasn't like God. Whereas if I think with my 5 corporeal senses, then I'm in that thought loop. I'm in that belief that there is something other than the divine creation, other than the one divine life. And it is my fidelity to that one divine life that will begin to activate it, correct my thought, and have a profound effect on my experience.
Swami, I was reading this morning some Bible verses, and this is out of Mark 10:17-22, the King James Version. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So I want to talk to you about that word, beholding him and loved him. And then what's really going on with this young man's thought process?
Jesus beholding him, he's seeing him as the divine idea. And so there's no corporeal sense judgment here. But he also is trying to instruct him that in Revelations, they talk about read, hear, and keep the word, the scriptures. You don't just do this academically, intellectually. There are levels of understanding that we have to graduate into. Jesus is pretty much telling him he has to put off his mortal sense of self in order for us to really have access to this kingdom of heaven on earth. We must assume spiritual identity. When we assume spiritual identity, just like we said earlier, truth dispels error. Light dispels darkness. You can't have a false sense or a personal sense of self and be spiritual. Spirit can't be divided. It's whole. It's complete. It doesn't happen like I'm spiritual and you're not. And that's why Jesus beheld him and loved him. Jesus loves him as he loves, which is from this divine sense of awareness, this divine perception.
And so why is that young man saddened?
Well, because he doesn't want to go far enough. Divine love in the Old Testament was called the wrath of God. Divine love does not allow us to accept anything less than our perfect self. If we fall back and we want more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience, if we don't want to give up this finite sense of existence, then there's guilt, there's shame, there's this kickback that comes from this inner desire to be whole, to be complete.
So we're talking really basically about the lack of willingness to surrender.
Right. When you talk about that word surrender, we did a show on it. It is of the utmost importance that we surrender to the divine will. It's not just a giving up. It's not a release and let God kind of a thing without having awareness of the divine creation. Because we must surrender to the divine idea and not to the testimony of the five corporeal senses or the world thought. And in order to do this, we must know the difference between them. And then we must prove it. That's of the utmost importance, that if I am surrendering to the divine will, that spiritual light or the Christ light must outpicture a correction in whatever it is that is appearing in the five corporeal senses. And so it is the Christ light, spiritual light, that makes the choice possible. Otherwise, we may be denying the five senses and not be under the protection of spiritual law.
Swami, you had mentioned earlier the words read, hear, and keep. Can you maybe dig a little deeper with that for us?
Yeah, it's all part of our development. When you first hear something or you read something, it kind of dawns on you a little bit. But if you are starting to hear it, then it starts to show, take more shape for you until eventually you start to employ it. And that's what I think we really have to do with this concept of spiritual identity. We must attune ourselves to the divine idea. And one of the things that we do in Kriya Yoga is we employ the two-part philosophy, know thyself and nothing in excess. In order for us to really demonstrate this divine principle, which is right here, right now, with scientific certainty, we must understand it. And in order for us to understand the divine creation, we must know ourselves in the way that we're created, which is spiritually. And to know yourself spiritually dissolves the false sense of who you think you are. So Mary Baker Eddy uses the term purify. In Kriya Yoga, we're always trying to purify ourselves. We're trying to purge ourselves of all of the human concepts, theories, beliefs that are creating this veil and preventing us from letting this divine creation dawn on us, letting it reveal itself to us, which will correct our thought and correct our experiences.
Swami, in Deb Hensley's work, The Light That Makes All Things New, were there any other interesting points in her work that you'd like to maybe talk about this morning?
Well, I would like to encourage people to listen to it. It will be posted on our website with this radio show post. One of the things I really liked was where she said, I wasn't voicing an illuminating truth. Truth was voicing me and illuminating me. And I no longer felt separated from it. That's what we're kind of talking about, is it's one thing when we are talking about being spiritual. It's another thing when we are thinking that we are spiritual. And that's a little bit further explanation to the concept in Revelations to read, hear, keep. There is this level of understanding. Mary Baker Eddy would break that down as we graduate from belief to faith to understanding. In Kriya Yoga, the process, we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. Once we have completely transmuted our sense of self into spiritual identity, now this one divine life is now living itself through us. And how would I know if what I was doing was that, as opposed to the psychotic or the neurotic or the drug-induced state? There's a big difference between this true mystical state of being at one with the divine and when you're controlled by forces that are beyond your scope of power. And again, we have to be able to evaluate this based on the testimony of our corporeal senses. Because the message of the Christ is to heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead, preach the gospel. Unless we are demonstrating these divine qualities with scientific certainty, then we're either not before thought or we're not above corporeal sense yet. We're not out of that thought loop, and we haven't forsaken thinking for knowing.
Well, it's time we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also clicking products tab and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and perceive the truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.